Okay, good morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf mem vav. Just wanted to take a moment. Evidently, yesterday's shiur was sponsored by Mr. and Mrs. Martyr in commemoration of the yahrzeit of his father-in-law, Rabbi Gedalia Arye Steinberg, Rabbi Gedalia Arye ben Shmuel Yitzchak Zal. And we'll give him a two for one. So our learning yesterday and today should be a schus for the Aliyah of Neshama. And no, charge once. So sorry for the. Okay, we left off. We had started the fifth parak, and we can do the entire Amud Beis from yesterday as Chazara, all three lines of it. So Ashutvin Shanadra Hana Zamizeh Asurin Likana Sechatzah. So we said that if you had two partners and they were Madar Hana one from another, that neither of them can go into the chatzar, because the basic idea is that they each own, in other words, they each own the chatzar, so, and they're, each one is usher from the other, so if they go into the chatzar, they're being nene from the portion of the chatzar that belongs to their friend, to their partner. So therefore, neither of them can go into the chatzar. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Amar, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, Zen nechnas atoch shalov, zen nechnas atoch shalov, they can each go into the chatzar, because when they're going into the chatzar, What they're saying is that the concept of Breira works, and Breira basically allows them to go in with the understanding that could be where retroactively it would be determined that when they went in there, that was the chelek that they had, and because it could theoretically be like that they're allowed to go in. So again, the machlokas in the Mishnah that we were dealing with was that the Tanakama holds Ein Breira, that there is no Breira, and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says there is Breira. That's how we understand it from the Gemara in Bava Kama. Okay, so the Mishnah continues, and it's continuing with this scenario where you have Shutfim that are Aser to have Hana from one another, and the Mishnah continues on the top of Daf Mem Vav Amud Aleph. Ushneim asurim lahamid rechayim v'tanor ulegadol tarnegoilim. That both of them are usher to establish or to put in the chatzer. A rechayim is like a mill, a tanner is an oven, and the gadol tarnegoilim to grow some kind of poultry. That they cannot do that. Now that is. According to both Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and the Tanakama, what's the reason they can't do it? Because these are the types of things that partners have a right to block one another from doing. In other words, even when we have a shutvis, I can say to my shutif, you're not allowed to put a tanor in there or a kirayim, and therefore, if this is something that each partner can block on the other. So two things happen. A, when there is Breira, you can't say that it was clear that they had the right, in other words, that he had the right retroactively to put his tanner there, because he doesn't automatically have the right. He needs the consent of his partner. And therefore, specifically, that if you put the rechayim in the chatzer, it means your partner could have objected, and by not objecting, he's allowing you to be nene, because he's not exercising his right to prevent you from putting in a tana or a kirayim. So, memela, you're benefiting from him when you do that. So that's why whether you hold breira or you don't hold breira, you're not allowed to do this, because this is a form of hana. And the Ran says that the Ran understands this to be a case of vitor. Vitor, again, is this concept that there are small things. We use the example of the apples. You buy a couple pounds of apples, you throw an extra apple. Here also, this seems to be a small thing, but we know that Vitor is Aser b'mudar mahana. That's the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, which we've encountered many times, and we've had many Mishnayos that go along with that view. So this is another instance where we deal with that. So it continues. If one of them was prohibited to have hana from his friend, lo yikanes lechatzer. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Amar, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, yachol hu lomer lo letosheli ani nechnas. So this actually is exactly the argument we had in the beginning of the Mishnah. So we're going to see the Chiddush in a moment. So in other words, when it says, in other words, the Mishnah, the first case was dealing where they were Aser one on the other. Here they says if one of them is Aser, if one of them makes the other guy Aser on him, according to the Chachamim, he can't go into the Chatzar. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, he can go into the Chatzar because he has Breira. And he says, when I'm going into my Chelek, not into your chelik. So far, that's not really a chiddush. But he continues, v'kofin es hanoder limkar. We make this guy who made the nether on himself, we force him to sell his chelik in the courtyard. So in other words, I say that Shimon and I own the courtyard. I say that Shimon is usher. I'm sorry, that I am usher on that I can't benefit from Shimon, right? So A, I can't go into the courtyard, according to the Chachamim. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, I can. But regardless, according to all opinions, I have to sell my share in the Chatzar, unless, of course, I want to be Mater Nether. Why? So the Ran explains, because what's going to happen is that I am going to be, since I was Mater Hanah for myself, and I'm going to see that my shutef is using the chatzar, and I'm not, and I'm going to be jealous that he's able to use it, and I'm not able to use it, and I'm going to come to violate my nether somehow. So because of that, we force him to sell. And the Ran asks a very basic question, which is, he says, fine, that works according to the Rabbanon, who says that you're not allowed to go into the chatzar when you make the nether, your mother, Hanah, and yourself, you can't go in the chatzar. So it makes sense, you'll be jealous of your partner, because he's going in the chatzar and you can't, so you feel bad. But according to the Ran says, according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, he says you can go in the chatzar. You don't even see the difference between them going in the chatzar or not. So he says because the difference is that he'll be able, if he's able to put up a tana or a kirayim, he's able to put these things up. You'll be jealous of that. So the Ran asks, but that doesn't make sense because you can object to your partner putting up a Tanur v'Kirayim. So again, what difference does it make if you are Mader Hanah from yourself according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? So what's he going to be jealous of that we're forcing him to sell it? So he explains, the Ran explains that basically, this, as we said before, we said it's a vitor, it's a dover, it's a minor thing, something that everyone normally does for a partner. So he says, since he's going to feel like an idiot if he tells his partner you can't put up your Tanur v'Kirayim, so therefore, he's not going to be willing to say no. He's not going to prevent his partner. Once he's not going to prevent his partner, he's going to see his partner is able to set up a ton of a kirayim. He's going to feel jealous, and therefore, he's going to violate his nether. So because of that, we force him to sell his portion in the chatzar. So that's the chiddush of this part of the Mishnah. The first part of this clause was really repeating the first halacha of the Mishnah, just with one party, us, instead of two. But the chiddush is that he needs to sell his chelik in the chatzar. Okay? Haya echad min ashuk, if one of them, haya echad min ashuk, mudar be'echad mehem hana, lo yikanes l'chatzar. So what's the case here? That you have Reuven and Shimon are partners, and Levi, who's not a partner, is not allowed to have hana from Shimon. So according to the Chachamim, according to the Tanakhama, here what we're saying is that Levi can't come into the chatzar. Why? Because when he comes into the chatzar, he's benefiting from Shimon, and he's not allowed to benefit from Shimon, right? He's not an owner, and he's usher to have anah from Shimon. He made it usher on himself. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, Yachol lomer lo l'toch shel chavercha ani nichnas ve'ene nichnas l'toch shelcha. He's coming to say that you can, even though you're not an owner, even though it's not a question that you have a shibud or whatever it is, the idea is, because there's breira, you could say, when I'm coming into this chatzar, I'm not coming to your part of the chatzar, I'm coming into your partner's part of the chatzar. And the question here, the Ran brings from the Rashba, he says, the davka kishu nichnas atzor chashutif, he says it can't be, although he brings from the Ra'ah that even a stranger can come. But the Ran says that doesn't make any sense. He says the Rashba makes more sense, that when can he say, Levi can say, I'm allowed to come into the chatzar and benefit because I'm coming in to see Reuven? Only if he has some kind of business with Reuven. Either he needs something from Reuven, or Reuven needs something from him. But you can't have a total stranger like Levi come into the chatzar that belongs to Reuven and Shimon, and even though he's asked to have anah from Shimon, he says, don't worry, I'm only having anah from Reuven. If he has no relationship with Reuven, that doesn't work, according to the Rashba. So that's the case here, is you had a single person come, you had a Levi who's not part of the chatzar. According to Chachamim, he can't come in. According to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, he can, because whether there is or isn't Breira. The Chiddush here would be the view of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov that even in this case, we're willing to apply Breira. If we have time later, the Ran has a pshat why there's also a Chiddush, even according to the Chachamim, in this case where they say that the third party can't come in, and we don't say Breira. We'll see if we have time for that. Okay. Hamuder haname chavero, v'yeshlo merchatz ubeis habad muskarim ba'ir. So the case is as follows. Someone is mudar anah from his friend, and he has a bathhouse, or a beis habad is where they used to press. I think they used to press olives. And what happened is he owned this bathhouse. But he rented it to someone else who operated it for him. So he had like a triple net lease or whatever it is. In other words, he said, you take care of the Beis HaMerchatz, I'm just the owner, you rent it from me. So the question is, so if I own this Beis HaMerchatz, I own this bathhouse, but I rented it to Shimon and Shimon operates it, the question is, if Levi is not allowed to have benefit from me, can he go into my bathhouse? Do we say that since I'm the owner and he's coming into my bathhouse, he's getting hanah from me and therefore he's not allowed in? Or do we say that I'm just this silent owner, I'm just collecting rent? Really, Shimon is running the bathhouse and therefore he should be allowed to come in, because the fact that he's not allowed to be nana from me doesn't make a difference, because Shimon basically is the landlord, is the owner for all intents and purposes, because he's the operator of this facility. So the Mishnah says it depends. Im yeshlo bahen tvisas yad, if I have in the Beis HaMerchatz a tfisas yad, and we're going to define in the Gemara at the end of the Gemara today, what does that mean, I have a tfisas yad? It means I have some portion, or some tfisas yad is a grabbing of the hand, meaning there's some connection I have, then asur. Ein lo behen tfisas yad, but if the only connection I have is that I'm the owner, but otherwise it's entirely leased to him, as we'll see in the Gemara, then in that case, mutter, because it's considered that he's coming in to Shimon and not coming in to me. Okay, so that's now the next case in the Mishnah, which is something we should be familiar with because we encountered it on probably Sunday. The Mishnah says, "Ha'aymer lechaveiro." Someone says to his friend, "Koinem lebeischa shani nichnas." That it's a konam that I'm not going to come into your house. V'sarcha shani lo keach. That a konam on the field if I buy it. So in this case, it's beis cha and sad cha, so it's your house or your field. So we said meis o shemachr la'acher, if you if he dies or you sell it to someone else, then mutter, then the person is allowed to come in. Why? Because he only said beis cha, your house, sad cha, your sada. That's only as long as it's his. When he sells it or gives it to someone else, it's no longer his, and therefore the nether that precludes hana drops by its very terms. But if he says konem bayis ze shani nechnas, this house, he doesn't say beischa, your house, sada zu shani lokeach, this sada if I buy it, then in that case meso shemachar lacher, even if he dies or he sells it to someone else, it's aser for someone to go in, because the hana was he was Madir Hana on this house and this field, even after he sold it. And we dealt with that question earlier in the week about how you do that can you do that even at a point that it goes beyond your ownership. So this is the Mishnah. Okay? So now, the Gemara asks as follows. The way we understood yesterday the concept of the two partners that are Madir Hana Zemiza, they assert each other on being benefiting from each other. The way we explained it was that I said that I can't have anah from my partner, and my partner said that he can't have anah from me. So we each assert on ourselves the ability to have anah from our shutter. So the question the Gemara is going to ask, the Gemara says, Ibailu, I'll ask you a question. Binadru pligi, we're arguing in a case where they each assert on themselves benefit from their partner, but hidiru ze'ezeb. But what happens if they instead, remember, a nether could be one of two ways. I could say, I am making myself unable to benefit from Shimon, right? Or he says, Shimon can't benefit from me. So you can have either way. So the question is, we understood the case yesterday that it's where they each said, I can't have enough for my partner. But what happens if they each said, instead of what they can themselves are precluded, but they said, my partner can't have enough from me. So do we still say the same case? My, what's the halacha? Mi amrinan, do we say bin nadro hu depligi, that they only argue that where they each took an isser upon themselves to say that they couldn't benefit from their friend. Alv behediru zezem, moidulei rabbanan l'rabbelazer ben Yaakov. But if it's a case where they each assert their partner on themselves, in that case, the rabbanan would agree with the rabbelazer ben Yaakov and say that they can each go into the chatzar, the chi anusim damu, because they are like anusim, odoma, or maybe afilu behediru ze pligi rabbanan. That maybe even where they each did it on each other, they would argue. So now let's understand what's going on here, because we learned yesterday that the Gemara in Baba Kama tells us that they're arguing about whether there is or isn't brera. So the Ran points out that one version of this Gemara is going to be like we learned in Baba Kama, that they're arguing about Brera, and the other would reject or question that premise in the Gemara in Baba Kama. So how does it work out? In other words, the idea would be the following, that when they each assert on themselves the ability to benefit from their friends, so they've each created this environment where there's they've each for themselves created an environment of Isser, and therefore, the way the Ran learns, we knas them. In other words, we say, because you did that, we're going to say, we're not going to apply the concept of Brera, because it's a knas. But, according to this view, both Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and the Rabbanan agree that there is a concept of Brera. So if it's a case where, so in other words, if I assert Hana on myself, and they each did that, they've done something wrong, and we canast them because they've set up this environment of not being able to use, and maybe they're going to be over on their nether, etc. So we say you're each out. But if they did it to each other, that's what the Gemara says, ki anusim damu, they're like anusim. In other words, if I have a partner, and he says, let's just say there's two partners, and my partner comes one day and says, you're not allowed to have enough from me, so now you can't come into our joint chatzar. What kind of business is that? It's a joint chatzar, and you should, in other words, so therefore that's an anus. If someone says, you can't come into the chatzar that we ourselves have a joint partnership in. So do we look at it as there a nusim? Or do we say that in fact the argument is one of brera? So even in a case where someone is madar hana, that is saying his partner can't benefit from him, which makes him like an anus, but the fact of the matter is that at the end of the day, he said you can't have anah from me, and since there is no concept of yesh brera according to the Rabbanan, we have no ability to tell him that he can come in the chatzar, even though he's an anus. And maybe he would have some kind of financial claim against his partner, but we can't allow him in, because if there's no brera, otherwise, if we can't say brera, then when he comes into the chatzar, maybe he's coming into the portion that really belongs to his partner. So this is the Gemara's kasha. Does it apply only where we each are mother ourselves from our shotif? And that's the case. But if it's a case where we did it on each other, meaning that you asked the other guy, that in that case, they're like anusim, or do we say, sorry, this is a machloka strictly about yesh brera or ein brera, and therefore the Rabbanan would argue even in that case and say that there too he should be usher one on another. So the Gemara tries to bring a raya. Tashma, haya echrod mehan mudar hana mechavero. So this is bringing from our Mishnah. So it said, if one of them, mudar hana mechavero, means that hana was made us, or was another for him having hana was made by his friend, upligi rabbanan, and you see the rabbanan still say So in other words, let's just look where we are. This is the second line at the top of this Amun. He can't go in the chatzar according to Rabbanim because ain't brera. So what do you see? The lashon of mudar hana mechavero means his hana was asered or a nether was made on him from having his chaver. So the language of mudar is that that it happened to him, that he was made asser. So you see that even though someone else put the nether on him, he didn't do the nether. In that case, you still see the Rabbanan say ein brera, because they say that he's not allowed to go into the chatzar. So it seems to demonstrate that the Rabbanan argue even in the case where one guy did it to the other, not where they each did it to themselves. So the Gemara says, that's no raya. Tani, you should learn it, nadur mechaveiro hana. It's nadur, and it means that when it says that haya echemen mudar hana mechaveiro, it means that one of them was in some fashion precluded from benefiting from his friend. It doesn't speak to the question of who did it. In other words, and in fact, we saw this because, you know, in the Mishnah, if you remember, for example, we said amudar hana mechaveiro lo yashilenu velo yisho mimenu, and there was the different Lashonis in the Ran, and we've had many Mishnayos as we went through recently, that each time we read the Mishnah, it said, Amudar mechana mechavero lefnei shvias, and a yared who can't go. In other words, each case, we didn't know exactly what does that mean, Amudar mechana mechavero. So that's what the Gemara is telling us here, is that Mudar hana mechavero doesn't necessarily mean it happened to him. It could mean that he did it. It just means it's describing the circumstance after it happens. In other words, Hamudar hana mechavero, someone is precluded from having hana from his friend, whether he did it himself or it was done to him. So therefore, it would not really answer the inquiry of our Gemara. And the Gemara says, "Hachi nami mistabra." It makes sense that this version of the Mishnah, which starts on the second line, is talking about a case where he did it to himself rather than his friend doing it to him. Why? The Ketani Seifa, because we learned the end of this case, V'kofen es anoder limkar es chelko. We said that the person has to sell his chelak. E amrit bishlama de nadar hu, if you say that he's the guy that made the nether, that he asered himself to have hana from his partner. So remember, we described the scenario. He asered himself from having hana from his partner, and we're worried that he's going to see his partner using the chatzar. He's going to be jealous, and he's going to come to violate his chatzar. So we force him to sell it. So that makes sense. In other words, if he created a situation where he was not allowed to be nana from his partner, and then he's going to become jealous, so we force him to sell. But hainu d'ktani kofen, that's why we learned that we force him. Ela i'amrit d'adre. But if you're going to establish the case based on the words mudar hana mechavero as being one where his friend said, you can't use it, amai kofen also. Why would we force him? Hamenas anas, he's an anas. So think about this in the halachas of partnership. Anytime you have, if it works like that, let's say you got two partners, and one guy says, wow, the value of this property has gone up, or I think it's going to go up would be a better case. And he says, I don't like my partner anymore, so I'm going to go to my partner and say, you're asur and hana from me. And then I'm going to say, okay, now you have to sell the field. You have to sell the field because you might become jealous and violate the nether that I put on you. So the Gemara says, what kind of sense does that make? How can that be the scenario where the fellow who had someone else imposed the hana on him, imposed the nether on him, forces him to sell? It only makes sense if he himself put a nether on himself that he can't benefit from his partner. We're worried he's going to come to violate the nether because he's jealous, so therefore we force him to sell. That makes sense. Okay, so therefore it proves the point that chances are this case in the Mishnah, even when it says Hamudar hana mechavero, it doesn't imply that someone else did it to him. It could even be where he did it to himself, because that case only makes sense if he did it to himself. Now, the Ran wants to address a question, which is, he actually addresses it as a as a possible way to read the Gemara, and he says, maybe what we should understand, if you read it carefully, so maybe when it says haya echad mehen mudar hana mechavero, if one of them, so let's understand it the way we were starting, that the partner said, you can't have hana from me, so I'm a partner with Shimon. So I tell Shimon, you can't have hana from me. So now Shimon can't come into the chatzar. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says he can come into the chatzar. Bekofin es hanodar limkar es chelko. But we obligate the one who made the nether to sell his chelek. So the way we would understand this, maybe the proper understanding is, I aser Shimon from having hanah from me. So Shimon can't come into the chatzar now, according to Chachamim, according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, he can. But now I need to sell my chelek because I created an environment where he is aser from hanah. So the Ran says that that doesn't make sense because people are allowed to put a nether on someone else from benefiting from their property, and we wouldn't force him to sell for that reason. So it can't be that case. It only makes sense where he did it on himself, which is something he really shouldn't be doing to create this environment, and therefore we can force him to sell. And then he says, Yesh l'tmo al harav, he talks about the Rambam, that the Rambam in fact paskins this way, that if I am Madir Hanah on someone else, I need to sell my chelek, not him selling his chelek. And the Ran has a problem with this because he says that's the derech of the Yerushalmi, it's not the way our Gemara works. He says the Ravid already asked this question. But then he brings something very interesting. He says, he brings an interesting halacha from the Tosefta, as explained by the Yerushalmi, and he says as follows, that if someone was a habitual prohibitor, meaning we say that a person has a right, the Ran explains, a person has a right to tell someone else, you can't be nana from me, and we can't force him to sell because of that. But if he does it habitually, then we force him to sell. And you can't keep assering your partners on from Hana. And so he brings from the Yerushalmi how much makes someone a habitual prohibitor. It says if you do it twice. The third time, he says, O machar chalkecha, o shari nidrecha. Either you have to reverse the nether or you're going to have to sell your chelik. You can't keep assering your partners from benefiting from a field. But in any event, as the Ram points out, if shetabayin I pligi rabban afilu bediro, so he says we leave off that we don't have a specific answer to our question. The Ram tries to bring a raya from a Mishnah a little bit later, but net, I think that the way the poskim understand is that here we don't demonstrate whether they argue. In other words, the first view was saying they both agree to breira, and it's a question of kanas. The second view was saying if they argue about breira. We know from the Gemara and Baba Kama that they establish that we argue about Brera, so that's how we are likely going to understand our Mishnah as, in fact, an argument about Brera. So we don't specifically answer the question, but we can answer it from Baba Kama. Okay. Amar Rabba Amar Ziri. So we're turning the page. Rabba says the name is Ziri. Now we're going to address something. Yesterday, I explained, because the Ran said it this way, explained the Mishnah as talking about a case. Where we're dealing with a chatzar that is not capable of being divided. In that case, they argue, but they don't argue in the case where it is capable of being divided. How did the Ran know? Because that's today's Gemara. So, but when for the purpose of the Mishnah, we dealt with it the way the Maskana is, but now we're going to have this question. So, Rabba says in the name of Ziri, Machloke sheyesh ba kedei chaluka. When do we argue whether there is or isn't Breira? This is going to present the view that we don't adopt in the end. He says they argue in a case where the field is capable of being divided. Avol ein ba kedei chaluka, but if there is no ability to divide the field, divrei hakol mutter, everyone says it's mutter. So let's first of all, we alluded to it yesterday, but the question of whether you are or aren't able to divide a chatzar has to do with how much space there is. So people need their dalet amos that they use. There's a dalet amos in front of their house. And there's basically, if a chatzar is too small that each partner will be left with a usable amount of space, then you can't divide it. The nature of partnership is you can't force someone to have a little thing that he needs to stand like this. If you have a big chatzar, at some point you can, what is it in America? You could sue for division or something like that. Or you can partition, right? Sue for partition. In other words, you can make them divide it. That only works if each partner is going to be left with enough space to live, but if they're not left with enough space, they can't. So in any event, so Rabba says in the name of Ziri that when do we argue? We argue by a big chatzar. Can, in other words, that if one goes in, and is there breira or not? But in a case where it would be a chatzar that has no chalukah, everyone would hold its mutter. Now, why should everyone agree it's mutter in a chatzar she'en bo din chalukah that is not capable of being divided? This is going to, the Ran points out, he says, Ukamosha Pirashti Aniba Mishnah Sena, like I explained in the Mishnah. What did he say in the Mishnah? So we discussed this yesterday. There was a series of pshatim, but the Ran's pshat was, at some level, that when you have this chatzar that is not capable of chaluka, so what happens is, it's not like the quintessential case of get, we said yesterday. Because get, We know nothing about which wife is going to end up with this get. So we don't know the what, we don't know the when, we don't know anything really, and we're only going to know l'mafreya. So we said in a case like that, in a deraisa, that's a classic case of breira. So in a deraisa, we won't rely on breira, so hence get. Whereas in a derabanan, we would rely on breira. So that's a regular case of breira. But the case in our Mishnah, where if you're talking about a chatzar that is not capable of division, it's less of a breira. In other words, you're relying less on breira. Why? Because since it's a chatzar that can never be divided, right? So it will always be joint ownership in the totality. So when we say breira by a regular chatzar, there's a series of possibilities. Maybe they're going to stay partners, in which case they always each have a chelek in the whole thing, or maybe they're going to divide it, in which case maybe they're going to end up with a half that wasn't theirs, right? So we don't know what's going to happen in the end. So breira, in order to tell us that breira is going to establish retroactively this is what really happened, so breira is defining a lot for us. It's settling, it's saying, even though we don't know that it's ever going to be divided, we're treating it as if it's his portion, not the other guy's portion. That's why we let him be nana. But in this case, since it's never capable of division, we know the what. The what will be that each one always owns an entire right to be in the chatzar, just like his partner has an entire right. The only question, what we said yesterday, is that breira establishes that when I go in the chatzar, it's clear that this was my time to be in the chatzar, right? And the other guy also. So the what is known, the when isn't known. So we're relying on breira to determine less than a regular case of breira. A regular case of breira, we know nothing about how it's going to end up. And we say, l'mafreya, turns out it was X path. As opposed to here, we know something about how the circumstance is going to be going forward. So therefore, our reliance on breira is for less of a biror, less needs to be determined by the mechanism of breira. So that would be the argument. Now, just to remember, we explained this yesterday as the view of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that's why Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says it, and the Chacham and the Rabbanan don't say it. So in this version of the Gemara, what the Gemara is saying, according to Rabba in the name of Zairi, everyone agrees with that concept. It's only by a chatzar that is capable of chalukah that in fact they would argue that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would say yesh breira, and the Rabbanan would say ein breira. So basically, what we viewed yesterday as the explanation of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would be the view of everyone in a case of a chatzar she'ein bo din chalukah. Now, the way most people understand the Ran, what does that mean? So if they do argue, if the Rabbanan and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov do argue in a case of a chatzar that is capable of chalukah, it would turn out that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would be saying, even where breira determines everything, we still allow breira. So therefore, he would have to say that get, there's also breira in the case of get, which presumably means that the Gemara could ask, I imagine, that the question, which is how the Ran got onto this yesterday in the first place, by deraisa, we know we don't rely on breira. So how could you say we rely on breira even by a chatzar sheyesh bo chalukah, which would also be the halacha by get? The Gemara could have asked that, but the Gemara is going to ask a different question. So again, we are saying that they only argue by a big chatzar, but by a small chatzar, everyone agrees that there's breira, because it's less of a breira. So Amar Leih Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef said to Rabba, he said, that doesn't work, because we're going to see a Mishnah soon in our parak. Hare Beis HaKnesses, there's a shul which belongs to the community, the Kamisha Ein Bo Kedei Chaluka Dami, which is, in other words, a shul that is part of a town. A town has a shul. Every member in that town has a right in that shul. And they can't come and say, well, you know, let's divide the shul. You give me this pew, you have that pew, and everyone's only allowed in their own pew. It doesn't work like that. A shul belongs to the entire community by its very nature. If someone moves into the community, he's part of the community, he has a chelik in the shul. So a shul is something that is not capable of division. So you see, and yet we see in the Mishnah, Utanan, and we learn, Shnei Masurim B'davar Shal Osa Ir, that according to the Chachamim over there, according to that over there, that they're both Aser in something that belongs to everyone in the city. So if something belongs to everyone in the city, they can't Aser Hana on one another. So the question is as follows. Therefore, this is similar to a Chatzar that is not capable of division, the small Chatzar, because it is something that they cannot force partition. So the question is as follows. If we understand, as we discussed yesterday in our mission, according to what's going to be the maskan of our Gemara, that they argue by a chatzar she'ein lo chaluka, that is not capable of division, so then it's fine. You say the Mishnah that says you're, oh, by the way, the case in the Mishnah is where people are usher from manah from one another, they can't go into shul. That's what it says over there, because when they go into shul, it belongs, in other words, if Reuven's not allowed to be nana from Shimon, when he goes into shul, Shimon owns part of the shul, and vice versa, because they're usher enough from one another. But in any event, if we understand that the Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and the Rabbanon argue in a case we're not capable of chalukah, so we explain the case of the Beis HaKnesses as being the view of the Rabbanon. They say Ein Breira, and because Ein Breira, that when Reuven assers himself on Shimon and vice versa, neither of them can go into shul, because as much as we'd like to say that when he goes into shul, he's going into his chelek and not into Shimon's chelek, you can't say that, because Ein Breira. So then we understand the Mishnah that says you can't go into shul, because it's the view of the Rabbanan that say, even in a chatzar, she'ein bo chaluka, you cannot say Breira. But if you say that everyone agrees in a chatzar she'ein bo chalukah, because you know the what, and it's only a question of the when, so it's a lesser form of breira, and everyone agrees you're allowed to do it, so then in a Beis HaKnesses, even when you're mudar hana zeh mizeh, you should be able to go into the Beis HaKnesses, because that's a lesser form of breira, because we know it's never going to be divided, and we say everyone agrees that in that case we apply breira. But if so, whose opinion is reflected in the Mishnah that says they can't go into the Beis HaKnesses? So it must be that they do argue, even by a chatzar she'ein bo chalukah, okay? So Rabbah, in the name of Zairi, said that everyone agrees by a chatzar she'ein bo chalukah that there is a concept of breira. And the Gemara is now asking, says, how could that be? Because if so, if everyone agrees in a chatzar she'ein bo chalukah, that a shul is a chatzar she'ein bo chalukah. So why did our Mishnah later on say ein breira and they're usher from each other? Whose view would that be if you say that everyone agrees that chatzar she'ein bo chalukah, that they agree, yesh breira. So it must be that that's not the proper understanding.
You don't own a part of the shul. You are entitled to go to the shul, but you don't own a part of it.
The way the Gemara understands is davar shel osa ha'ir means something belongs to all of the people in that town. In other words,
you gotta come take the chair. Okay, this is my portion, and walk out. Mm-hmm.
Right, but in other words, but everyone owns all parts of the shul. But in other words, you have a chelik and ownership. In other words, there's no amorphous body that owns the shul. The shul is owned by its members. I mean that, you know, and membership is determined by living in the community. If there's a public shul, you're a member of the shul. If you're a member of the shul, you technically, I guess, like a country club. Technically, everyone in the country club owns everything that's there.
Corporation.
Well, sorry, too many out of time. Anyone?
Distinction between the shul and the street.
Well, street. Right. In other words, but I guess this is a concept, and we'll see it, I guess, when we get to that Mishnah, but this is the concept that a shul is something that's literally owned. Well, maybe you read a lesson into that. It's not like a street. People have a chelik in the shul that belongs to that city. But in any event, what we see is it can't be that everyone agrees by a chatzar she'ein bo chalukah that there is breira, because if so, why would the Mishnah say that they're usher on each other? If there's breira, they should each be able to go into shul, and they're able to say that the part of shul that I'm walking in is my part. Elam Rav Yosef, Amr Zairi, the Rav Yosef says in the name of Zairi, so instead of the version that Rabbah had a Zairi, we say the follow, Machlokas she'ein bo kedei chalukah. The Machlokas is where there is no ability to do chalukah, avo yesh bo chalukah debri akol asar. That if it's capable of suing for partition, then everyone agrees that it is asar. And this would be the way we explained the Mishnah yesterday, that if it's capable of division, then in order to do that division, you would be determining everything. You would be determining the what, the when, etc. So that's a full case of Breira. And since we're dealing with the Din D'Oraisa, we paskin Ein Breira. So everyone agrees Ein Breira in that case. When do they argue? With a Chatzar She'ein Bo Din Chalukah, that the Rabbanan say there's never Breira, and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says there is Breira if it's this lesser, there's never Breira, the Rabbanan say there's never Breira by the Oraisa, and the Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says if it's this lesser form of Breira, then there is. Avo yesh ba kedei chalukah, but if it's big enough that they can sue for partition, devri akol asar, everyone says it's asar. Okay, there is a very interesting thing. Okay. I'll go further. Fascinating. There's fascinating rounds on this page. Anyway, let's see if we have a minute or two at the end. We can go further. Okay, Hamudar. So the Mishnah said. I'm sorry. Amr Rav Huna halachik Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, the halachas like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, v'chein Amr Rav Elazar halachik Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, the halachas like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, which we knew already because that was the basis of the Ron's question yesterday. He said, how could we say the halachas like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov when at the same time we paskin that we pass in Ein Breir by Deoraisa? Okay, fine. The Mishnah said, Amudah haname chavero v'yeshlo sham merchatz. So what we talked about is the case, I own the bathhouse, I lease it to Shimon to operate it, and the question is, if Levi's not allowed to be Nenna for me, can he come into the bathhouse? Do we say that I'm the owner, and since I'm the actual technical title holder of the property, therefore he's not allowed into the bathhouse? Or do we say that since Shimon is operating it, and it basically becomes Shimon as the operator, and therefore since Levi is not usher to be Nenna from Shimon, he can go into the bathhouse? So the Mishnah said, what's the halacha? It said, depends. Do I have tfisas yad in this bathhouse or not? If I have tfisas yad, then Levi's not allowed in. If I don't have tfisas yad, then he is allowed in. So the question is, the kama tfisas yad, how much do I need to be connected to the property? How much do I need to own in order to have tfisas yad? So we're going to learn it two different ways, because the Ran had a different girsa than we do. So we'll learn it the way we have it in the Gemara, and then we'll learn it as the Ran. The kama tfisas yad, how much is tfisas yad? Amar of Nachman, lemechsa l'shlisha revia. That if I own a half, a third, or even a quarter, then that is considered having a tfisas yad. But if I own less than a quarter of the property, now, one second, let's just be clear. It's not where I own, I misspoke here. I own 100% of, I'm 100% title holder. The question is that they used to have a percentage rents arrangement there. They would say, you operate the base on merchatz, every guy that comes in gives a dollar, I get 25 cents or 50 cents, right? And you got, so in that case, I don't operate it, but I benefit from it. So in that case, if I get, according to the way we're understanding, the Mechzel Shlisha Revia is saying, if I get at least a quarter of the profits or of the revenue, then I'm considered to have a tfisas yad, and since I'm the owner, plus through my ownership, the rental arrangement, I'm getting percentage rent. If I'm getting more than a quarter of percentage revenue, then Levi's not allowed in because I'm considered like an owner. Avo bebatzir, but if I get less than that, let's say I have a 10% revenue override, then in that case, lo, that Levi's still allowed in, I don't prevent him as my owner. Abaya says, afil bebatzir aser, that even if I own less, if I own any amount, I am aser, that Levi's aser to come in, because then the question is, the Gemara says, well, hechi dami deshari. So if so, if I have any rights in it, what's the case where it's permitted? The mekabel betaska, where I get flat rent for the year. In other words, we say you pay me $1,000 a year to operate the bathhouse, at which point I'm entitled, at which point Levi can go in because he's basically coming in to Shimon. Okay, now, how does the Ran? The Ran has a different girsa. Oh, man, we're not going to get to all the Rans here, but let's just do the Ran's girsa. This is beautiful stuff here today, so read the Ran if you have a chance. The Ran had a girsa that said, Avo bebeitzim lo. We said, batzir lo. So the way he reads it is as follows. As long as I own some portion, any portion, then I, any portion of percentage, percentage rents, Avo bebatzir. He learned bebeitzim. If they're beitzim, basically there was a practice they used to have that people would have concessions inside a bathhouse. So I guess people used to like to eat eggs when they went to the bath because they would sell eggs. So he says, if I have, in other words, if I own a percentage override, then that's a problem. But if all I have is a concession inside the bathhouse, that doesn't aser it. Abaye amar afilu bebeitzim aser. Even if I have some kind of concession, it's aser. Hechidam yishari de mekabel taksa, that the taska, that it's a flat rate. Okay, yeah. That's where we go.